Father, I thank you for this time that we're together here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look into your word, to hear your word expounded to us. I pray for Harold. I pray that you would guide his thoughts, guide his words. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through him this morning. Help us, Lord, to hear. Help us to hear as though hearing from you, to realize just the privilege and the responsibility we have in taking what's given to us and learning and applying it to our lives. I pray, Lord, that your name would be made great here this morning. I pray for those that aren't able to be here, those that are serving away from home, those that are away this morning. I pray that you'd be with them in their different places. Lord, there's just a lot of us here and there, and I just pray, Lord, that you would be with each one. Glorify your name in their lives this morning. I pray especially for this Sue that has cancer. Lord, I pray that you would minister to her. I pray, Lord, that she would just be able to be in relationship with you during this time, and that your will be accomplished in her life. I just pray, lift her to you this morning. Thank you. We bless you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I'll start out by just saying thank you for your prayers. We had a good trip, had a nice time connecting with all of our staff from all over Asia, and also had a nice time, day and a half or so, with Mike and Sherry afterwards, and keep praying for them. God's working in their hearts, and keep praying that they'll just come to Jesus. This morning I want to share a message. I need Jesus so I can see God. How many of you want to see God? When? there's actually two ways that you can take this message. I need Jesus so I can see God in eternity. Absolutely, I need him for salvation. But I need, the way I want us to think about it this morning is that I need Jesus because I want to see God. I don't know how deep your longing is in your heart to see God and to have him be real and have him be something in your life that you just cannot do without. I don't know where you're at with that this morning, but I'm there. God, I've had such good experiences with God that I just want to be in his presence. I just want to be with him. I want to spend my day with him. I want to walk with him and talk with him and know his voice and hear him speak to me as the day goes by. And during the night when I wake up, which the last few nights has been quite often with jet lag, so get a little extra chance to spend some time with him. I'd like to base this message off of John chapter 14, a few verses here, but I want to read verses 1 through 11. Jesus is talking, he's talking to his disciples, and it's a passage of scripture that we often look at and we think about it in relation to heaven. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus wants us to be with Him. Pay attention to that. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. So He says, here's where I'm going. You know. You know how it is. And Thomas says, well, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says to him, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. He that cometh to the Father, no man cometh to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Wait a minute. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way if we don't even know where you're going? And Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. If you know me, then you know my Father. And you have seen him. And Philip's like, Lord, show us the Father. And we'll be satisfied. It suffices us. Show us the Father. And Jesus just said, you have seen him. So pay attention what's going on here. Jesus says to him, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me? Don't you know who I am? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Get what Jesus is saying. If you've seen me, you've seen God. You've seen the Father. And how then sayest thou, show us the Father? Philip, pay attention. And one of the things we talked about in our lesson this morning was how patient Jesus was with these disciples. Most likely young boys, teenagers. And he was taking them on a journey. Philip, yeah. Don't you understand, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So how are you saying, show us the Father? Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He's talking about words and works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Just a very, very interesting passage. So much there. But I want us to just think about it. Have I seen the Father? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, what kind of a box do I put God in? One of the problems that Jesus dealt with the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, was that they had God in a box. And Jesus did not fit the box that they were thinking of. We talked about that in our last message, how all they could think about was he was not keeping the Sabbath. And Jesus was trying to show them that there was much more there that they were missing. And so he's bringing this out to us. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we've got these boxes we put God in. Things that we've learned, things that we've assumed, things that we've picked up along the way. What kind of a box are you putting God in? What's my picture of God? When I think about God, what do I think about? Now this is important. Somebody said, the way I treat my children tells me what I think of God. Makes sense. But this is important stuff. How do I picture God? Because if my picture of God, how I think of Him, how I picture Him, if it's not the one that's really there, I'm in bad shape. I'm just playing around in the wrong playground. I'm not getting where I want to go. So how we picture God is of huge, huge, huge importance. So Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So how do I picture God? Where did that picture come from? Where did my picture of God come from? Well, we've already said it can come from things we've learned, been taught. I've already shared, you know, how so often we think of God as a God of judgment, first of all. And God describes Himself so clearly as that being the very last thing on His list. So where do we get our picture of God? And we need to think about that. Where can I get an accurate picture of God? What do you think? Where can I get an accurate picture of God? In Jesus. Absolutely. You want to know what God is like? Just look at Jesus walking on the earth. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. There it is. And so, all of the things that we've read, all of the things that we've adopted, all of the thoughts that we've thought, the pictures that we've put up there, all of it has to get filtered through Jesus Christ. Now, the Word comes in there as well, because Jesus is the Word. So we, you know, God is revealing Himself through the Word. But we need to understand that how we see God has to be through the life of Jesus Christ. One of the main reasons, and we'll look at this a little later, one of the main reasons that Jesus came to this earth is to show us the Father. That's one of the main reasons. Obviously, He came to forgive our sins. He came to deal with our sin and to be a Savior. But one of the main reasons is He came to show us the Father. So we could see with our eyes. And that's what John says. We've seen with our eyes. We've touched with our hands. We've heard it. We've had it walking there in front of us. And so we can declare unto you the truth of the Word of God and who this Jesus is, that He is God come in the flesh. So this thing of Jesus showing us the Father is really important. What do I see when I look at the life of Jesus Christ? What do you see? What particular areas are you focused on? Do you get kind of latched on to? We'll talk about that some more. I've been interested in Moses. I've been talking about him different times. It was interesting to me how Moses progressed. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, where Moses was at the burning bush, he says, Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. been there, done that. Do you want to see God? Or are you kind of scared? It might change your life when you see God for who He really is. Moses was afraid. But you know, as God worked with Moses and God did all those miracles there in Egypt and brought deliverance to the children of Israel, and Moses is leading the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 17 through 23, Moses is begging God, God, I want to see you. God, I just want to see you. I've been talking to you all these years, and you've been talking to me. And by the way, that's an interesting thing in itself. Pay attention when you read back there in Exodus and read the stories of Moses there. It is just like this. God said to Moses, Moses said to God. God said to Moses, Moses said to God. God said, Moses said, God said, Moses said, God said. It is just going on. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's the way our lives ought to be. That's what God intends. That's what He wants. He wants to be in communication, in relationship with us, where it's just He said and I said, and it's just on and on all day, every day. That's what He wants. And that's where Moses was at. And Moses said, God, I just want to see you. I just want to see you. And then in Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6, it says, and God came down and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and said, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy, showing mercy to thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty. Moses saw God. God said, you can't see my face, you'll die. But I'll show you my goodness. And Moses came down off that mountain, and God was shining out of him. And they told him, put something over your face. We can't stand it. It's too bright. Moses was in the presence of God. So Moses pictures for us something that I think should be the journey of our lives. We start out afraid of God. He comes and starts to reveal himself, and it's scary. I mean, you walk up in front of a bush and it's burning and it don't burn up. And voice comes out of the bush and says, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Whoa. So we meet God and it's kind of scary. But He begins to speak to us, and we begin to listen, and we begin to talk to Him. And we come to the place where we want to see Him. And He comes, as we spend time with Him, He comes and reveals Himself to us. And it shows in our face, in our countenance, in our life. So, a number of scriptures here about seeing God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Genesis 32, verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Job says in 19:26, even though my body is destroyed, yet in my flesh I'm going to see God. Hebrews 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. If we don't follow peace and holiness, we're not going to see God. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So the Bible talks a lot about seeing God. And there's a lot of people that had that burden on their heart to see God. Seeing Jesus is seeing the Father. That's a key point here. Seeing Jesus is seeing the Father. Jesus has told us of His Father. John 1, verse 18, it says that Jesus has declared Him, the Son, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared, He's told us about Him. He's made Him known. He's made it clear. He showed us the Father. And then Hebrews chapter 1. This is such a beautiful passage. I always love this. God, the one we want to see, who at many times and many places and many ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So here He sent the prophets, He sent all these people to declare who He is, but now He sent His Son, and He's put Him here in front of us so that we can see who He is. And here's what it says about Him. He's appointed heir of all things. He's the one that created the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the full outshining, the express image of His person. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the writer of Hebrews says He's the express image of His person. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So Jesus, John tells us, or Jesus tells us, John records it, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hebrews says that Jesus is the express image, exact image of the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You can't have God without a living Jesus. This is an important thing. In Wednesday nights we were talking about 1 John. And one of the things we noticed in there was that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. That is a key point. That's a key doctrine. And John says whoever doesn't believe that is Antichrist. They're against God. And I think as we look at this message this morning, it becomes more clear to us. We understand it better. 1 John 2:23. Whoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. Well, yeah, it's the express image. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you deny the Father, you deny the Son. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So John is making it very clear. If you want to see the Father, you have to see Jesus. And if you see Jesus, you see the Father. And Jesus made that clear as well to the Pharisees over and over. You can't have the Father and disregard me. It's not possible. Now, I want us to just think a little bit. What did Jesus show us about the Father? What did Jesus show us about the Father? While Jesus was here on the earth, what did He show us? I've listed a few here and I put some scriptures there if you want to look at them. He showed us love. For God so loved the world, all of us. And Jesus was here on earth declaring and showing that love continuously. Again, back to our lesson today and the disciples. Do you ever see anywhere where Jesus got all ticked off at the disciples and said, "This is you guys, I have wasted my time with you. I have spent all this time and it just is, it's not working. It was a stupid plan. I should have never done it." No. You see him encouraging them. You see him correcting them. But you see him loving them. John 13, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Even though they just all denied him, or were going to at that point. Even though one was going to betray him, he loved. God is love. God is love. That's scripture. God is love. So if your God is not a loving God, you got the wrong God in mind. I'm sorry. Secondly, God is a God of compassion, and Jesus showed us that. There's a number of scriptures that talk about that Jesus was moved with compassion. And one of the things that I've picked up just lately as I've been reading is how God says, I am a God of compassion. Back in Exodus, when he was, or Leviticus there, when he was giving Moses all the instructions, he said, if you take a pledge from somebody and they give you their cloak, I think it's Exodus 12, maybe. They give you their cloak. He said, you give it back to them before the night time. Because if they go to bed and they don't have that cloak to wrap themselves in, and they're cold and they cry out to me, I'm going to hear because I'm a God of compassion. Now, we miss that oftentimes. We get looking at the law and we see all the things that God said and how the judgment came oftentimes. But God over and over said, I am a God of compassion. And that's what he told Moses when he appeared there. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering. That's who I am. And Jesus showed us the Father. God of compassion. He's a servant. And that, this struck me so hard and in such a powerful way, in a new way, as I was looking at this Sunday school lesson this morning. How many of you have ever thought of God as a servant? We think of Jesus as a servant. He became a servant, took upon him the form of a servant. We think of that. You know what? I don't think I ever did. God as a servant. But God is a servant. Have you ever thought about how much God serves you? How much He does for you? That's what a servant does, right? Does things for you. And Jesus, in our lesson, was the powerful servant. Took upon Him the form of a servant. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've got to do a lot more chewing on that one. But that one really struck me. God as a servant. He's got to be. Or else He'd have wiped us all off long ago. Right? He's got to have that servant spirit, even though He's the majesty, the one above all and in all and through all, just like Jesus Christ. God hates hypocrisy. We see that in Jesus. Jesus was always ready to work with anyone who was open with Him. But when they started playing games, it didn't work well at all. Did not work well at all. If you go into Matthew 23, you find something very interesting. In Matthew 5, you have the Beatitudes, 8 blessed. In Matthew 23, you have woes, 8 woes, 8 curses, to the Pharisees and the scribes. And what did Jesus point out to them? He said, "You keep the outside spotless, but inside you're just like a tomb with rotten bones. The outside looks good, but inside it stinks really, really bad." Jesus showed us that God hates hypocrisy. He hates somebody that acts like everything's good and it's not. Oh, it doesn't mean that he's not ready to receive. He was begging the Pharisees to change. If you just recognize that you're sick, if you just recognize that you're blind, but you say you're whole, if you'd recognize that, you could be healed. You could be delivered. There'd be hope. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus has paid the price for our sin. That's part of that whole picture. God, Colossians 2 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. We often talk about Jesus paying the price for our sin, but God the Father paid too. He was part of the payment, big time. Just go back and look at Abraham and Isaac and that story in Genesis 22. Read that again and then think about, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father was involved in paying the price for our sins. The Father's involved. The story of the prodigal son there, Luke 15. The Father welcomed his son home. He paid the price. He paid the price for his son to be restored and redeemed. I'm just going to ask you real quickly, maybe there's some other things that you're thinking of this morning that came to your mind as we think about, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I didn't try to exhaust them. I just wanted to put some things here for you to think about. Did anyone think of something that when you look at Jesus, you see God in him in what way? Let's stand together for prayer. I'd just like to encourage us. Let's make sure that our picture of God is accurate. And let's do that by looking at Jesus and seeing what he has to show us, what he has declared to us, what he's put out in front of us. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our Lord Jesus, that he was willing to take the shame and the pain and the abuse and the suffering and all that went with it to come to earth to show us the Father. Help us, God, that we look clearly at who Jesus was and is, and that we allow you to show us yourself in the way that you desire. God, we want to see you. And I pray, God, that you put in each heart here a longing, a desperate longing, God, to see you, to know your voice, O God, to walk with you. And to hear you speak to us and walk with us and show us yourself. We thank you that it's your desire. And in the day that we seek for you with all our heart, we'll find you. We thank you. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.